All right, inviting you back to Luke chapter 23, verses 33 and 34 as our text starting point. This is those mid moments in the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here in verse 33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Now this morning we looked at this scene at Calvary, and we looked at the fact, first of all, that this portion of the Scripture teaches us that forgiveness on behalf of the Lord, or by the Lord, reaches to the ignorant, because we emphasize the fact that these folks that Jesus was praying for forgiveness for knew not what they did. And then in our second point this morning, we looked at the fact that forgiveness reaches beyond the ignorantly merciless, like that crew was, and reaches to others. And I used scripture references in which Jesus taught us how to forgive one another as children of God. And the reason that I stuck strictly to that this morning was, if you class humankind into two groups, you find that one group is the ignorantly merciless, or at least the ignorant, whether they have any mercy abiding in them or not. And in the other group, we find the informed. And the informed, I made the point at the first part this morning, that the informed are those who have the Spirit of God and are able to understand the things of God. And so this second group are those who understand the Word of God, but may actually be somewhat ignorant of what God instructs us about, or they may be perfectly informed about it and still be unforgiving in their pattern. And I showed us this morning that it doesn't matter whether it's through ignorance or with full knowledge, that the Lord leads us and teaches us as His people to forgive all men their trespasses. And brothers and sisters, we want to be reminded that just like Brother Kevin told me this morning after the service, how can we expect God to forgive us if we won't forgive others? And that is part of that great model prayer that I mentioned earlier. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us, or forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, we're then at the point to talk about the consequence and how we handle forgiveness. And I want us for that to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6 for just a minute and look at something that the Lord shows us there. In Matthew 6, we read here in verses 14 and 15, Jesus is teaching on this. He says in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, some people have used that, wrenched it out of context, and tried to use it to demonstrate that saved people who hold grudges will get lost, because it says the Lord will not forgive our trespasses if we do not forgive men their trespasses. Folks, that's the wrong way to twist that scripture out of context. It simply means this, that if we will not forgive men their trespasses, the Lord's going to visit us as His children. And whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son that He receives. And as Brother Nathan and I were talking during lunchtime, the Lord doesn't always chasten us just because we've done something wrong. I want us all to be reminded that I'm not talking about the general chastening of the Lord, which can occur for us and toward us whether we've done something wrong or not. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son He receives, means that the Lord is going to give us spankings in order to guide us to a better pathway. Not because we're bad guys, but because He wants to teach us to go in the right way. But there are chastenings that the Lord delivers to His people sometimes because they're just doing the wrong thing willfully, going in the wrong direction. And I believe that fits here with Jesus' warning. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Father will not forgive you your trespasses. He'll hold you accountable for them. And obviously, if you're schooled in Scripture, you understand that He doesn't hold you accountable for them in eternity. He's going to clean that mess up while you're still alive here on earth. So how can He possibly hold you accountable here on earth? Well, He can spank you good. He can take a whip to you. He can take a big rod to you. And also, brothers and sisters, much as it feels, makes us uncomfortable to think so and say so, He can also take you home. And so the Lord has His ways, and He deals with us that way. But let's be aware of the fact that the Lord holds us responsible to handle forgiveness in the right way in order that we ourselves might be blessed. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 18, in verses 23 through 35, there's an extended explanation about this that I think is worth us looking at. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if you look at these verses of Scripture in Matthew 18, verses 23 through 35, He gives us a parable about a certain king that called his servants up to give an account of what they were doing, how they were doing it. And he began to tally up what they were doing, and there was this one servant brought in that owed him 10,000 talents, and this guy didn't have the money to pay. He didn't have what he could pay him off for, and so this Lord in the parable said, okay, give him over to the tormentors until I've extracted everything he's got. In other words, attach everything he's got, including his soul. And get it all. Get everything you can. The servant fell on his knees and said, please have mercy on me, and I'll pay you everything if you'll just give me a week. You know, that'd be the kind of thing you'd see in a TV movie nowadays. Give me a week and I'll have it for you. Well, the Lord was moved with compassion on this man, and He forgave him and loosed him altogether for the dead. He said, okay, you're even, Stephen. I've cleaned the board. And the same servant right after that went out, and he found one of his fellow servants that owed him some stuff, and he said, pay up. And the servant said, I can't do it. I don't have it. And we find in this parable that man took that fellow servant and he put him in prison until he could pay his debt. Now, there's nothing more oxymoronic than a debtor's prison, because there's nobody going to make money to pay a debt when they're sitting in a prison somewhere. But that's the way things work among men. Anyway, he put him in prison. And the next thing you know, this king or this lord heard about this deal. And the Lord, after that, He called that servant back to Him. And He said in verse 32, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Now, folks, I'm going to stop right there with that phrase and ask you all a question. You answer with yourself. Who fits that servant at this point? I forgave thee all that debt. Don't we all? We, everyone, fit that debt. That is the description right there of us. So let's put ourselves in there just a minute. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. He asked. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Let's learn from verse number 34. Well, let me read verse 35, so it'll be very clear who he was talking about. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Pretty obvious who he's talking about, isn't it? Us. Now, I want you to notice in that the Lord has appointed tormentors for us when we get out of line and refuse to forgive our brothers their indebtedness. But now let's go back for just a moment and let me be very clear that we need to examine, dissect, take apart everything about coming from a brother or sister that we think is a trespass, and make sure before we ever assume this guidance here that it was a trespass, in other words, a sin against us. Because folks, not everything that we get hurt over is a sin against us. We need to remember that. It's because we've let it hurt us. There's a lot of things that happen that way, and we don't need to let that blind us to what is trespass. And I gave you a little bit of instruction this morning about how to do it, how to dissect it, cut it apart, and look at it to make sure that when you assume this is what fits the case, you know that your brother has transgressed against you. Then you can go forward with this idea here. But if it's not a transgression against you, it may just be something in each one of us that we've conjured up. But the point being here is that the Lord has ordained tormentors for the purpose of refining out our unforgiving spirits. That's what we're taught in verse 34. Now, the Lord's also given us a bit of gracious instructions about forgiving one another. And you find it in Ephesians 4:32. Let me read it to you so we don't have to go there. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How, Lord? How extensive do you want us to be about this forgiving one another? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I can say it like this. Forgive like God's forgiven. Because it was in Christ that He forgave us every debt, everything that we owed Him, past, present, and future, He has forgiven. In that moment on Calvary, when our Lord gave Himself up to that crucifixion, that forgiveness became reality. Now, we mentioned earlier God's charge to Saul about the Amalekites for their offenses against Israel. And in closing, we want to emphasize this one thing. As we look at this, we want to emphasize that there are always consequences for the offender who stands in need of forgiveness. In other words, if somebody's done something that actually is in need of being forgiven, there's consequences for that something. Folks, I don't know how else to say this except let's be real careful. Let's be real careful that when we get offended, we just forgive and go on. Because as it turns out, the Lord will take care of what is needed for those who hold a grudge and will not forgive. And there's consequences afoot for those who will not forgive offenses against them. And we want to be aware of that. I don't find anywhere in Scripture any of God's Word that nullifies consequences, even if the ones that we offend actually do forgive us. Let me say that again. I don't find anywhere in Scripture where God says, oh, as soon as that offended brother or offended other human being forgives you, I wipe the slate clean and you're not guilty of anything and I've forgotten all that. I don't find that anywhere. What I do find is that there are consequences. And we need to be aware that there are consequences. It'll cause us to be wise about future decisions about forgiving a brother or a sister, about getting on with our life. Now, why is this the case in God's way of doing things? Well, I believe it's because this thing of God's reminding us that there are consequences regardless of whether we've been forgiven of our offenses against a brother or not, that He reminds us that there are consequences because it's a kind of insurance, if you will. It's a protection from those that claim to be right with the Lord, but are users of God's people and prey on God's people's obligation to do the Lord's will in relation to offenses. That I believe that's what it's there for. Now, you don't have to take but a short walk in your life experiences, brothers and sisters, to know and understand that there are people out here looking for Christians like you to bleed dry. And those are uses, and as soon as they begin to use through falsehood, they have transgressed against you. And the only way we are protected from those transgressions against us is for the Lord to build in something that ensures that every action shall receive a just recompense of reward. Every deed that a human being acts out is going to have a payday. And so, yeah, we get used as children of God. We get bled sometimes as children of God by people who say, there's a mark. I'll bleed them dry. And we go down the road for a while and get used. But trust me, God's got a built-in insurance, a built-in mechanism. And you don't find anywhere in Scripture where God says, well, as soon as you're forgiven by that Christian, that son or daughter of mine, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. He doesn't say it. It isn't there. And he's not going to. We want to always be reminded of that. Now, how many times have you heard naysayers say something like this? This is another case where you get used, deceived, lied to, tricked, and bled by people who know how to squeeze Christians dry. Somebody will say, if you were a Christian, if you're really a Christian, you wouldn't be acting like that. If you were really a Christian, you wouldn't have said something like that. Do you know what they're saying? Do you know what they're doing? They're milking you. Folks, they're milking you. They want to cause you grief and pain, and it is deception. When a lost man says something like that to you, he's simply milking you, and it's deception. It is a transgression against you, and the Lord has a payday. End of story. So we always want to remember that. Now, notice in the 17th chapter of Luke, if you go back to that for just a minute, in verses 1 and 2, that Jesus is talking about a lesson of forgiveness there. And he said to his disciples, let me read it again. It is impossible, but that offenses will come, he says. Now listen to the threat. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. He's talking about his children. Now, the Lord never makes idle threats. And so we need to remember, and it'd be worth our time to warn the ignorant about making moves against the people of God. And it would be well for us to remember ourselves that we ourselves can get ourselves in a bad place with the Lord by not forgiving when moves are made against us. But we're not to imagine that those people that make moves against us and try to milk us, that they are free of guilt, that they are free of indebtedness, that they can walk away and never have to answer to God for it, because it just isn't true. But regardless of what they may do or try to do against us, we want to remember the prime rule. Forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're just a bunch of ignorant children of Adam out there doing the thing that they know to do best. And remember that with children of God, it's a little bit different. If we think that the offense is actually a transgression, let's rebuke them. And if they repent, then we wipe it clear. It's no more. And even if they don't repent, I reminded us this morning, we're obligated to forgive anyway. We can't complete the cycle unless that brother who's offended repents, but we can do our part and empty our souls of the obligation of God that is totally free from what that other brother does about his obligation to God. Our obligation is to forgive them. Their obligation is to repent and ask forgiveness. But I reminded you this morning, a brother or sister may just not know that they've offended you. They may not know it. I don't know everything in the Bible. You don't know everything in the Bible. You don't know every nuance of everything that goes on in interactions between believers in Christ. And so people may not know. If we tell them in love, then they do know. And then your part is done as long as you cleanse your heart of any grudge and let that person do or handle his affairs with God the way he's supposed to. Only you can deal for you between you and your God. And only that brother who may have offended you can deal with his responsibility between him and his God. And if you've offended a brother or sister, only you can deal with the offense that you have caused between your brother and yourself. Only you can deal with that between you and the brother and between you and your God. That is what we want to remember as we close. All right.